How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Stop being stupid, people.
All bets are off.
You all suck.
I'm Morenci Unfiltered.
Scumbags!
Get on the grid, sports grid. I am Morenci. Let's do this thing. Podcast style, it's Morenci Unfiltered. As we're throwing it down, and you know what? It's a special treat. This week. Normally, Lou steps up and in and joins us every Wednesday, but we do have some world from mixed martial arts and the UFC. Unfortunately, it's not an official announcement as far as UFC 249 is concerned. But of course, the craziness continues in the world right now, so we hope that you're staying safe out there. Doctors are describing terrifying hospital scenes right now, and just to put things in perspective, guys, about how exponentially this thing grows. The other day was the first day. 3 days ago was the first day that 100 people died in the United States due to coronavirus. Well, today, 100 people died in the city of New York alone. Or I should say the state of New York, the tri-state area. Just to put it in perspective right now. So, you know, we're heading into the eye of the storm right now. And I just went to the store a couple of minutes before we started this podcast. And I walked into a gas station, and it really was like out of a movie or a Twilight Zone, in which there was a family and they were almost like blinded by the sun. And they were talking to another guy who was like having a smoke outside of his truck. And they're like, this is the first time we've been outside for 2 weeks. It's like they were all hunkered down. The family was together. And, you know, they had like bags in the back. And I'm thinking like, wow, this really is. It's like a survivalist movie. We're not quite there yet. Society hasn't broken down or anything, Lou. But I know you're an old school TV buff. This really is like, I hate to say it, but we're living in like the Twilight Zone right now.
It's what's currently happening half a lifetime ago, 30, 40 years ago, was hardly imaginable. And if it was imaginable, it was on a science fiction cutting edge show like the Twilight Zone. I'm trying to paint a picture for most of the listeners because they're going to be younger than this, than us, but even to young people, this has to be freakish. What's happened here, I don't think we know what's happened, and I don't know that we're ever going to know what's happened. I just hope that we can get through it without too much damage. I know, you know, New York is an epicenter just because of its culture and the amount of people that travel in and out and the amount of mass that's already there. So I feel for the people everywhere and just hope we can get through this thing okay. But you're right. It's a surreal, unusual circumstance, Gabriel.
It is. And I overlook the city of New York at a nighttime. It's like the city is like the lights aren't on. It's darker. You know, there's no one outside. It's just, it has that sort of end of the world type of feel to it. And think we're less than 2 weeks into this thing. It just shows the psychological toll it can take on people. But that's what we're here for, to try to take your mind off of things. But at the same point in time, well, take your mind off of things, you know, sounds kind of negative right now. But hey, we're being real. You know what I mean? It's just we're realist as well. But stay safe. And, you know, as we stated, the sun is shining right now. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, right? There will be a light at the end of the tunnel. But I saw Lou on Twitter, and, you know, baseball would have started, Lou. And I know, you know, you go to the day games in Arizona, and I know you like to go out to a local, you know, Southwest Tex-Mex style restaurant and have some drinks and go to the game. And I saw you tweet, let me get this straight. I drive up to a currently closed restaurant, save for takeout, order a taco, a shot of Patron, a cerveza, pay and drive off. Something just isn't making sense here. And they're actually doing it in New York where the bars are closed, but they actually have bartenders standing outside the bar and you can get a drink to go, like, which would also have been unheard of like a month ago. They'd be like, you can't be buying drinks to go. You can't roll in and have a shot in your car and a beer and drive up. Now it's like, yeah, whatever. You can do whatever the hell you want, Lou.
I guess it confuses me. So what's the deal? I guess it's going to be okay to keep the commerce of the local restaurant going because there's not enough traffic for a drunk driving person to get in trouble. I mean, what kind of a good idea could it be? I mean, all right, great. I got a taco in one hand, a shot in one. I'm driving with my knees and my beer spills. Come on, where am I going to put my cigarette? It seems crazy to me to encourage driving. It seems to be encouraging pulling up and drinking while you're driving, which seems totally counterproductive.
Lou, if you watch the news and all now, it's funny you say that. I think now, Lou, basically, like, you could sell crack on the corner and it's
anything goes.
They'd be like, wow, he's going to go and spend the money after somewhere, at least the guy that sold it. You know what I'm saying? It'd be like, wow, that guy eats at McDonald's. Like, you know, so it's going to help McDonald's. You're right. Like, there's just no, I mean, look, they're like, well, if a couple of people have to die to get this thing going, it is what it is. So, and, you know, even if you get into like the Twilight Zone and, you know, a couple of weeks ago, if I would have told you that the Republicans were cutting checks for everyone, it's like everything that Bernie Sanders has been campaigning on and it's come to life, Lou. In a weird way, yet Bernie has no hope in hell. Like, he got pushed out of the way. It's just truly bizarre world. But as you mentioned about the restaurants, I'm glad that they did, because people still have to eat, right? People still have to eat. Like, my local pizza place is still open, and I'm glad that he is. And, you know, it's been tough for him. You know, he said he gets some business at lunchtime that he used to not get. But overall, this really isn't good for anybody. Right. And, right. You know, that's the thing, Lou, like at times, like, you know, okay, there's a hurricane somewhere. There's an earthquake somewhere. There was an attack somewhere. Something happened, but it doesn't affect everybody in the world. And like, there's always conspiracy theories, right? You know, with everything, they did it because of this. They're going to profit off of this. This is one of these deals, Lou. This isn't good for anybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody wanted this. Like, people can blame China all you want. You think China wants this? Like, China didn't want this. You think Japan likes this? They just had to cancel the Olympics. Like, nobody gains out of this. You know what I'm saying, Lou? This isn't good for anybody. It's weird that, like, we actually, for once in the world, are actually all in it together.
We're all in it together. And there's, you know, really, you think about it, it's funny because it isn't a natural occurrence, a hurricane, a tsunami, an earthquake, something like that. It's worse than that. And it's man-made.
Yeah, or even a terrorist that we could shoot, Lou. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, now we're going to kill them, or let's just bomb the place. Like, there's no end game to this.
There isn't, because the magnitude of the error is man-made. Nature will correct itself. Nature is regional and geographic. You get a tornado, but it hits a few states. You get a tsunami, but it's out in the ocean. But something like this, the magnitude of it, it can only be compounded by one thing: human ignorance. And that's exactly what's happened here.
It's well said. So we're talking about like episodes of the Twilight Zone, and you know, a lot, you'll see this oftentimes. I mean, the networks will program movies that are sort of correlated with what's going on, you know, like, and it's not coincidence. You know what I mean? Like something will happen and you'll be like, oh, I can't believe this episode just happens to be on now. No, it just happened to be on. They know, right? They're like, oh, everyone's talking about survival stuff. So, you know, the movie Contagion's on all the time. I Am Legend with Will Smith walking around the empty streets with his dog. But I'm an old school TV guy, and I, you know, pretty much every night I watch The Twilight Zone and then Alfred Hitchcock, and then it rolls into Mannix. And Alfred Hitchcock is hit or miss. Sometimes it's like over the top, like British and old school. But some of these Twilight Zones, the ironies of The Twilight Zone, and the society just has a Twilight Zone feel to it. But Lou, I saw a great Twilight Zone, and I haven't seen it in a little while, and I think it's coming up because the rotation is sort of repeating itself. And it's on MeTV at like 12:30 at night, I think. Yeah, 12:30. And there's an episode of The Twilight Zone. Guy dies, all right? He dies. He's basically got like a guardian there, you know, like a guardian angel type thing. And guardian angel's like, well, and so he's like, you're telling me I'm dead. Now, I should note, Lou, the guy's like a degenerate gambler. He's like a womanizer. He's a gambler. He goes to the casino every night. He doesn't win. He strikes out with the chicks and, you know. And so he's basically dead, except he's alive. So he's basically like, he gets like wishes. So they're like, yeah, people like, you know, they're like, other people can't see you, but your world is still here, etc. So they're like, well, what do you want? And he's like, you know what? I want to win at the casino every night. And the guy's like, I can do that. And he goes, I want to have ladies all around me every night. He's like, all right. And he goes, that's all you want? And he's like, yeah. He goes, that's my life. That's what I want. So of course, Lou, after infinity of him going to the same place, the same room, the same thing, whatever crazy bet he made, he would win, right? Like he would do the longest, craziest thing, except he knew he was going to win. So he never got the rush of winning, Lou.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And people around him in the casino are like, unbelievable, you won again. He's like, yeah, yeah, whatever. And he's like leaving the money on the table. And remember what he said? He said, I want hot dames with drinks all around me all the time. Well, he got it. Suddenly, there was like six chicks that didn't stop all around him all the time, right?
And he's winning. Just wouldn't let up on him.
Yeah, 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 exactly. And he's like, what do you say? You know? And they're like, what's wrong? This is what you wanted. And finally, he's snapping, Lou. He goes, he sees the guardian angel, and he goes, I don't understand this. He goes, I'm dead. I'm in heaven. You're supposed to give me everything that I want. You're my guardian angel. And it ends with, I never said I was an angel. And this isn't heaven.
And jokes on
buddy's him. Like horns sort of pop up at the end. And then, you know, the voice comes in. Be careful what you wish for. You might just get it. Only in the Twilight Zone. You know what I mean?
The Twilight Zone was really, really classically.
And especially as a gambler, Lou, it freaked the hell out of me that episode. I was like, sure. Wow. Like, you know what I mean? Because it's all you, oh, I just wish I won. How come I don't have this? I don't have that. And in life, and maybe, you know, maybe in some way, Lou, like you stated, it's everything. There's a bigger picture to everything. Nature corrects itself. And, you know, is this God's wrath? I'm not saying it is. But at the same point in time, everybody has a little say in everything. And maybe this, I don't know, nothing ever changes people. You know what I mean? People say, oh, I'm going to change after like this shooting and all. Oh, yeah, it makes you really think and put life in perspective, but it really never does. And maybe this will, Lou, in some weird way. I don't know. Probably well, not.
I think it will, Gabe, because I think you hit it right on the head. You're saying it. I don't think the human is able to change on their own. Not many. You have to have a lot of discipline to do it. However, a circumstance or an occurrence can force us to have to, And that may be what we're finding ourselves in.
Yeah, sometimes change needs to be forced upon us. Yeah, we're getting deep here on Morency Unfiltered. So one thing that evidently won't change, Lou, whether we're in a pandemic or not, is John Jones. And here we are again right now. You know, it gets old. It gets old. And I don't know how you feel. And I, you know, I do feel for him in a sense. Like, I feel for him as a person just because of, you know, of the wasted potential here. And it sounds crazy to say that the greatest fighter of all time has wasted potential. But I do and I don't in a sense. Like, I know him. And I know him, like, before he got, like, to who he was. So I'm saddened to see that the kid from upstate New York is, you know, in the spot that he's in here. Like, basically, like, if you're not happy now, John, you're never going to be happy. You know what I'm saying? Like, he can't find peace. He can't find that spot. And I sympathize with him there. But at the same point in time, he's just such an asshole to everyone all the time, Lou. Like, he mocks other people's failures all the time. It's hard to feel sorry for him, Lou, in my opinion.
Well, for me, I don't know the man, but I look at the talent and the young fighting talent, which is how it pertains to me. And we've seen this before in this particular case with Jones. I was willing to forgive everything. I was even willing to, and I do believe to this day that the second Cormier fight, those residuals they found in his system were from way long ago. He didn't cheat in the second Cormier fight.
And let me and just, sorry, know, Lou, let me just throw out here just for the record in case someone's like, well, what did he do? I just want to throw out there. So John Jones was arrested for driving under the influence and a gun charge in New Mexico. Police responded to reports at about 1 a.m. Near a park, in a parking lot, etc., that John Jones, that there was gunshots going off. They showed up at the scene and they found John Jones wasted in his SUV. He wasn't driving it. It was parked in park, but he failed two breathalyzers and the field test. So he actually failed three tests. He was over the limit, which is, it's stupid, because if you, everyone knows, you argue, well, the test was this or that, you failed all of them. But he denied having a gun. He did have a gun. He also had an empty bottle, half empty bottle of tequila and a gun, hidden behind in a passenger seat. He was charged and booked for aggravated driving while intoxicated, negligent use of a deadly weapon, and possession of an open container. He was released. He's lucky because he was on probation for allegedly slapping a stripper, although people said that she attacked him, whatever, either way, nothing good happens after midnight. And, you know, so he's lucky. He didn't violate his probation, but, now, Lou, now we're getting words of guns and stuff. You know what I mean? Before it was just, well, you know, he did a line. He did this. Like, what are you doing firing off guns all wasted, bro? Like, what, like, bad decisions being made. And hang in here, Lou, because we'll take a quick break, and I promise I'll give you the floor on this. Morency Unfiltered, the podcast. Get on the grid, and don't forget to subscribe so you get the alerts. Pharrell's got a podcast going as well, and all of our programming that's normally on TV is still on TV, but we're taping it, and then it airs the next day. It's a difficult situation, but our live studios are obviously shut down due to the pandemic right now. So just follow Sports Grid on Twitter. And check out the YouTube page. Get on the grid. We'll take a quick break, and we'll continue talking John Jones and the UFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life. So I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is going to be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Filter the podcast continues. I am Morenci. We're going down with Luke Gamblu. So, Luke, as I stated, John Jones done some stupid things in the past. You know, the car accident when he hit the pregnant woman, even though he didn't know he was going to hit a pregnant woman, that was pretty stupid. He's done dumb things in the past. We can defend, you know, the performance-enhancing stuff and what the reason was or whatnot. But for me, I find it a little bit dangerous and concerning that he's firing off guns while wasted now. Like, now we're getting into what? He's sitting in parking lots with a gun at 1 a.m. Like, it's a dangerous road that he's going down.
As I read these reports, I want to, you know, a lot comes afterwards. If in fact there were actual shots fired, they should be able to tell that very easily. It says that they responded to a shots fired call. So if that ends up being true, yes, you're totally right. It also forces me to think that in July of 2019, just last summer, when he was in the strip club and had a situation with some gal, and, you know, the press and everybody ended up being that, you know, this is a, you know, one of the gal at the place that was employed was trying to railroad Jones, and he was a victim of being out. You can't believe that now. Now I look at the battery charge in July 19 of 2019 the same way as I'm now forced to look at the failed drug test, the hit and run incident, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the kid needs help. Alcohol is as bad or worse a drug as there is, and he clearly is unable to control himself. And listen, I don't have a problem with a guy barricading himself in the basement and taking no harm to society, but when you got guns and you're out driving around and there's a clear history of this, then pretty much the story tells itself, and I don't have to make too many opinions on it.
And I'd, you know, that's the whole thing. I'd be concerned, like, for his own safety at this point. That's the thing, right? Couple of drinks, like, and as you stated, alcohol. Yeah, you know, listen, a lot of substance abuse is bad in any form, but there's less people that have done stupider things after an 8-ball of cocaine than after drinking a couple of bottles. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying it's smart, but it's true. Alcohol just it makes you do dumb things, and I've been there. Yeah, I'm in this club. That's why I don't like judging. I've made mistakes myself. We've all made mistakes, or a lot of us have. Well, everyone has, unless you're God, right? If we want to get serious about it, but no one is pure. But it's just a concern. You know what I mean? Like I said, it's one thing. Like you said, Lou, it's one thing. You know, a lot of guys get drunk in their place and whatever, and you're not harming it. You're not worried. Like, what are you doing in your car again? And that's another thing. You've been arrested for drunk driving how many times, bro, now? You know what I mean? Like, you ever heard of Uber?
That's right.
You ever heard of Lyft? Like, you ever heard of a taxi, John? You know what I mean? You have money. Like, would it kill you? Leave the strip club, call a taxi. Like, no one knows then, John. No one cares. You know what I mean? You know, like, it's not on TMZ. John Jones got drunk and took an Uber home last night. No. It's a story because you got wasted and ended up somehow in a parking lot firing guns off. And another thing, if you're in an Uber, you're in a taxi, you're not going to end up there. You just end up at your destination, like the decision process. And like I said, I don't know when next time he's going to shoot himself or something. Like, I don't know. Like I said, it's dangerous. This is what happened to Vince Young, man. Like, they found Vince Young in the parking lot, you know, with a gun and not feeling too good. Dennis Rodman going back years ago, same thing. They're like, where's Dennis? They're like, oh, he's in the parking lot sitting there with a gun in his hand. You know, it's like, well, you know, I don't think he's about to shoot other people, but what's he going to do to himself right now? You know, like, it's a dangerous situation. And I don't know. Like I said, we're not psychiatrists. You know, we're not, what can we do? I find it interesting, though, that his brothers are very successful athletes and have money and don't have the same battles, right? Like that somehow they can't rein him in a bit on this. You know what I mean? Like even his family can't, like, and this is the downfall as well, Lou, where with mixed martial arts, where you'll see, like Dana cares about you in your prime and stuff when you can make money. But even now you see if Connor gets butt, like Dana, at some point, like, they don't care and they'll protect you or they'll try to help you early a few times, but eventually they'll give up on you too. And another thing is too, Dana figures it's not my job to babysit these guys. And if they're going to mess up their lives, they're going to mess up their lives. So I'm just saying, he doesn't seem to have much of a support system around him. Like, I don't know what the hell they do at the Jackson camp around him. I don't know what his brothers, like if his brothers have given up or they just can't reach him. I don't know, but it seems like there's no one there to like stop this kid from doing anything.
A lot of times in a situation like this, it's been my experience, and I have a son that's almost 2 years sober now, but it's been my experience that the only person, when you won't listen to the people that love you the most, because I do believe Jones's brothers have stepped in. I believe everybody's trying to step in.
Oh, exactly.
In,
I'm not saying they don't try. Sure. Exactly.
You're right. So until the kid really wants to get better, then he's not gonna. And usually it takes, the way I explain it to my sons is, well, if you ain't going to listen to me, then you're going to listen to him, because eventually him is going to speak to you. I go to church on Sunday, and him is the Lord. Eventually, the Lord will get John Jones, and I hope this doesn't happen, but the Lord got my son where he needed to be get, and he usually gets everybody where you need to be got. If money's your thing, he'll find you a way to hurt your money. If it's looks, yeah, whatever it is. I think that John Jones' story goes on further. I just hope it doesn't go like it looks like it's going, and it's going to be total devastation that
slipped.
Has to get him. Look what happened to Tyson. I mean, you couldn't talk to Tyson when he was at the top of the mountain. No one can say no to the champ.
But at least Tyson hit rock bottom and...
But way after he lost everything, all he's got now is pigeons.
Yeah, well, no, he's rebuilt himself. Tyson's, and it's great that he has.
Yes, he has, and it's great to see. But he realizes it. If you've seen some of the things that he has said publicly, there's been great realization in his life.
Oh, yeah.
Tyson's 40-something or 50-something. John Jones, 30 years old, and he's obviously not very mature.
No, and the thing is with John Jones – is he's not Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson, you know, Mike Tyson's an interesting character. You know, there's a different side to Tyson. He's had big success with his career and his life story, his stand-up tour, etc., his speaking tours. You know, Tyson's reinvented himself. And I saw a great interview with Tyson the other day, actually. It was really good. I don't know who he did it with. And he talked about how that killer is still inside him. It was weird. Like, he stated that basically he goes, you know, you don't think that I want to punch people in the face sometimes, man? He said, you don't think that I want to get wasted? And he said, but I can't. And he basically, like, he said, I'm not that person. And he was like, but it's still sort of there. But you can't change. Like you said, so you can't change. And especially if you're physically tough, because Jones going to think, you know, I can beat anything. I'm John Jones, etc. But the thing with the difference is John Jones didn't make the type of money Tyson did, right? Like, you can say, oh, Tyson's broke. Yeah, he's broke. He still lives in a mansion. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, he spent $300 million, but he's still a millionaire. And John Jones is different. Like, you know, John Jones has probably left about $50 million on the table over the last 5 years, 4 or 5 years. If you add up the fights, he would have been one of those 5 million guys, super fights. I remember Dana a few years ago said like 30, 40 mil that John Jones has lost. And now if you add it up, it's even more. He just doesn't fight. He's never capitalized on being the greatest fighter ever because he never goes on a streak. He never goes on a run. He never fights all the time.
He's always away from the game. He's always penalized or
his worst
suspension.
His worst opponent himself. That's classic line. It really is.
That's right.
The only guy to beat Jon Jones is Jon Jones. So let me ask you. So he still hasn't lost. Forget about the Matt Hamill loss. But, you know, we sort of always made excuses for him. I mean, well, who was the last fight, Lou? We were like, man, he should kill this kid. He didn't.
No, Reyes.
Like, yeah, he didn't. He made Reyes look like awesome. Anthony Smith, he didn't dominate Anthony Smith. Anthony Smith is a journeyman. And you know what I mean? Like, at some point, like, were we fooling ourselves? Like, that maybe he's not – he wasn't training again, Lou. Like, or he looked ripped, but the same crap was going on, evidently.
I think that, yes, to everything you're saying, and I follow you right down the path that you're leading. I'll go as far as saying that some of those things, the couple of lines, an eight ball, a little nightlife when you're 22, 24, 26, 28, and at the prime, it can be covered up a little bit more. But when you're 30, you're hunted. And maybe, you know, maybe Jones did take it easy. Maybe, you know, maybe he's a pretty good drinker. And maybe let's just imagine for this camp, he did not drink and didn't do everything. Well, if he did go totally sober, that's not natural to him. Because guys that drink and are
You're
always
right,
stealing
too.
Or when guys are cheating something in the shadows, that's their edge. So you're taking your edge away from him. So if he doesn't have his edge, how does he perform at his best? But if he does have his edge and he's drinking during camp, then obviously that would help explain the performances against those fighters. So really right now, the imagination can run wild, but when you boil it all down, and I'm glad you got us here, Gabriel, Jones is a fade. Unless they put him up next to me in his next fight, if he fights anyone competent, and that's the other problem. With all this talk of him going to heavyweight, there's no fights for him at light heavyweight. And if there's no fights for him and no intrigue, Dana's going to have no use for him. So there's a lot of things for Jon Jones to be concerned about.
That's a great point that you raise, actually. It's a great point that even with all your trouble and everything, and you're great, people aren't dying to see you fight Cormier again. People, you know, the Miocic, that would be something, but we see right now he's in no condition to do that. You know what I mean? This is what I'm talking about.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, if not, you could come right now. You're clean. You're boom. You're ready to go. You could say, Dana, I'm ready to go, man. Let's do this super fight at heavyweight. I want to make some money. Let's do this fight. Stipe would do it. He wants the money. He's not scared of anybody. He'll do it. Right? But, like, how do you do that now? Hey, Dana, like, because you know that call is going to come. Right? Dana's going to say, all right, John, what happened? How are you doing? You all right? And you know, John's going to go, oh, I'm good to go, Dana. Here, this doesn't change anything. But it does change something. You're going to court again, bro. It never ends with you. Like, I got to promote you on TV, and you got a gun charge now? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're on ESPN now. Like, I can go on, Lou. Like you said, like, he really just keeps screwing himself. Over what?
Yeah,
and another thing, move out of that stupid town you live in. Like, how many times are you going to get arrested by the same cops, man?
Yeah, I think he's there because it's a sleepy little town that you could get away with much. If he was in a major hub, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, who knows?
That's a good point, Lou. Like, we can't assume, but that's a great point that he's just out there every night in the middle of the desert in the mountains. And how many times he just gets caught every once in a while. Like, how many times have they let him go and said, all right, John, just go home. Like, you know what I mean?
You and I had that friend that worked for ESPN in Albuquerque that was a great source of information for us while he was around. And
Dave Rodriguez.
Dave Rodriguez, great guy. And he would share information. And most of the information was that John was out hitting it pretty good at night.
Yeah. And you raise a great point again about it, too, that you get away with that stuff in your mid-20s. You know what I mean? You can get away with it.
You can still a little bit, but and as well handle the adulation of being the champ. But he's been champ for so long. He's trying to stay on the mountaintop for so long. I'm telling you, now after this, I think there's a chink in his armor. I'll be looking to fade Mr. John Jones as we come up on any kind of competitive fight, whenever that may be.
Yeah, well, listen, I thought Reyes beat him. I had John Jones. I bet on John Jones, but I thought Reyes beat him. So, you know, that the counter, the clock ticks for everybody in this sport, in life, but in this sport. You know, we saw it, and that's what, to me, makes George St. Pierre so great. That George St. Pierre, you know, no major scandals with George St. Pierre. You know, no major scandals. Yeah, did he cover himself in Vaseline? Yeah, Lou. You know what I'm saying? yeah, who didn't? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not the same. You know, that's not like, that's just tools of the trade type stuff. I remember Shamrock telling me that. He said any fighter that knows anything, Phil Baroni, like, they sit in a bathtub full of Vaseline and it goes into their system. And then basically when they go into the ring after, into the cage, they start fighting. They sweat it out and their skin is slippery. It's like, yeah. That's not cheating. That's just cheating. You know what I mean? That's like scuffing a baseball if you're a pitcher. You know what I mean? Like,
cheating is showing up overweight, 3 pounds. Cheating.
Yes.
Cheating is
doing a needle like Chael Sonnen to fight Anderson Silva, saying, well, I don't have an open mouth, but if I juice up, I'll make money and I don't care if I get caught. That's cheating. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Houston Astros, cheaters. You know, like, we go down the list. But I was going to say, like, George St. Pierre, he saw it, Lou. You know what I mean? Like, Johnny Hendricks gave him all that he could handle. He nearly lost the fight. And Carlos Condit, fought Carlos Condit. I was there. Carlos Condit kicked George St. Pierre in the head, all right? And he dropped George. And George, like, never was always fast enough to block a kick. Like, it was like, holy crap. Like, St. Pierre just got kicked in the head. Like, literally kicked in the head. Like, textbook smash. And GSP's like an honest guy. You know, I know people that know him, like, very well. And he told people after. He said, I'm not the same after that kick. And he even said, he goes, I never would have got kicked in the head a few years ago. And he retired. Came back. He fought Bisping because he knew it was an easy fight. But he retired. Like, he didn't hang on. Like, you know what I mean? All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Lou Gamblou.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
On the Grand Sports Grid, I am Arezzi. We're throwing it down with Lou. We appreciate his time, especially joining us twice in this week. So, John Jones is one thing. Lou, you and I were discussing the prospects and the future of UFC 249. And I don't know, man. One by one, they're closing down the world. So, Florida being Florida, obviously. And we joked about it the other day that the odds, like, were better for Florida than North Korea. Or like Mexico. I still think they're going to go forward with this, but it's not going to be Florida, guys, because even WrestleMania now, I don't know what's going to happen. Like WrestleMania, the Performance Center, they were going to have WrestleMania there. And me and Lou talked about maybe the UFC even has it there. Who knows? Like they have a friendly relationship. You know what I mean? Maybe Dana say, can you help me out, Vince? Can I use your venue for this? But the problem is, this is where the officials get in the way, Lou. This is where real life gets in the way. They shut the town down. Like, basically, so, yeah, like, Vince, you own the building and WrestleMania and you know, whatever, it's your performance center. But thing is, you're not an essential business, and I've closed all but essential businesses. And, like, the mayor just stepped up of the county that the performance center is in, which, you know, Vince is going to be flipping out that some mayor is going to cost him like $68 million or something. But here we are right now, Lou, and this is the challenge that Dana's going to face.
I'm convinced that 249 is going to go off. I'm not convinced that it's going to go off April 18th. I'm a fight fan, and I really, really want to see fights, and I'm convinced that the UFC will be the first sport up running after or during this pandemic. However, I don't know enough about really what's going on to be able to judge whether that date of April 18th is going to work for the UFC or not. But I love the fever pitch by which Dana White's going about trying to get it done. It's like when I was a salesperson for the Gala Wine Company. You know, they knew that your territory produced 50 cases of X, Y, and Z every month, but this month they gave you a quota for 100 cases, and they told you, doggone it, you're going to make it. And so you'd come in with 80 cases, which was, you know, 60% above what you did every other month.
So
I can see the numbers. You know, I see Dana White convincing everybody it's going to be April 18th. And even if it's May 5th, he's still going to be a week or two ahead of everyone else. And so I commend him for his tenacity. And I just hope we can have fighters in the octagon fighting for our entertainment safely as soon as possible.
I do believe. And you and I remember I was ahead of this. So I remember like 3 weeks ago, I told you there's no way in hell this is in Brooklyn. You remember I told you that? I was like, I don't even know if it's going to happen. And, you know, so here we are now. But I got to tell you, I'm of the belief that, like you said, man, listen, Dana has it a lot easier than he used to. You know what I mean? He used to like really like work 20 hours a day and like literally not sleep. The Fertittas, yeah, it was the Fertittas' money, but you know what it's like, Lou. The Fertittas, like, they wanted results and answers, right? Like Dana White's like the boss of everyone except to them. And, like, it wasn't easy, you know what I mean? Like, to build that company the way that he did, right? It was ultra stressful, and the work that he put in was over the top. So I'm just stating now, with the new owners and stuff, Dana's just sort of there to babysit the whole operation. And Dana only sort of handles the mega fights, and he helps them. But Dana doesn't have the same stress levels that he used to.
So now,
like, he takes it as a challenge, and he has time to do it. And he's Dana White, and he's like, every time that something bad news comes, he responds right away on Twitter, and he doubles down. He goes, I don't care, it doesn't matter, and I believe him. You know what I mean? Like, he's Dana White. Like, he's like, doesn't matter. Like, already with the, he's like, yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter. And he, like, today he's saying, not only do I have a couple of places, but I'm putting together the best UFC card ever.
Well,
he said, I will have the best card ever. Not just a card, but it'll be the best card ever.
No, and let's understand that when he went from the Fertittas, yes, that was high pressure, because those guys get ROI, return on investment. So when they sold the UFC to this new corporation, they get ROI as well. And that ROI is based on a schedule where Dana White and the executives lay out a year and they say, here's 2020. We're going to do 44 fight cards. There's going to be 12 fights on each card. We're going to have so many contacts, and this is how many advertising dollars. So all their money is already scheduled for the year. The fact that they're going to miss two or three events, and Dana White says they're not canceled, they're just postponed, means that he plans on getting all of those fights and getting the yield that he promised his corporation.
Oh yeah,
he's going to get that yield in fights this year, because let's remember,
he gets a
Dana
cut
White
too.
Dana didn't take a salary. Dana's a percentage. He owns a percentage of this company. He does not take a salary. So he's vested in getting these fights across. And for me, selfishly, I would be happy as a pig in a mud hole if they have two UFC fight cards a week for the rest of the year.
Now, we never know exact details of people's finances, but
I know that was reported.
No, but Lou's right reported. About, yeah, Lou, but I'm just stating too, he also got paid though as well. Like he got like a share because he owned 9%, right? Like type thing, 8 to 10%. I think it was 9%. The Fertittas like gave him like 10% generally, like 9% of the company, like that he owned. So when they sold it, he got that. He got his share of that.
Correct.
And he did get like $440 million type of thing, like
yes,
cash.
But moving
And then, as you stated, and he retained his 10%. Like, that was the thing.
Yes.
Because they were like, they were smart. They knew, well, without Dana, we're screwed. We don't know what the hell we're doing. Right? So he said, hey, I'll stay. I keep my percentage points here. And, you know, I'll stay and and he even told them, I'll do this for you. I'll do the TV deals. And, you know what I mean? Like, Shelby's doing the fights, except, you know what I mean? Like, he's at the top of the food chain now. But I'm just stating that he takes it as a challenge. He's not I'm saying before, Lou, he was worried about, oh, God, Rampage Jackson got arrested. I got to deal with this right now. He ain't dealing with that shit anymore. He's a big-time tycoon that's friends with the president of the world type thing. And he's going to find a way. And I tell you, I think it goes on April 18th. And I think this is where my political, and for those of you that want to bet it out there, you can find the book. You just punch it in online, et cetera, out there. But for those of you who want to bet it, this is where me following politics as much as I do in the real world stuff. And I threw it out there the other day, guys. The president of Brazil said yesterday that this coronavirus is nothing more than a flu that only attacks the weak. And he's one of these macho, type of dudes that, whatever, he's going to get them all killed there, but he doesn't believe it's real. There's no shutdown. So all the shutdowns that are happening in Brazil are happening through, like, the mayors and the governors, et cetera, but he can do what he wants in Brazil. And he's like, no, Brazil's open for business. And so is Mexico. So is Mexico right now. And Mexico really doesn't have a lot of cases. And in a twist of irony, Mexico is actually trying to block Americans from coming in now. But money talks. So I'm telling you, Lou, I think it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen. I think it's going to be in Brazil, Russia, or Mexico. I know we're kind of vague here, but I think it's going to happen on April 18th in one of those three spots.
I hope you're right. I would say this. I bet you a handshake and a shot of anything of your choice, it will, first of all, Mexico and Brazil are almost third world countries. The hygiene, the hotel systems, I strongly believe that there's no way it's Brazil or Mexico. I believe it's a more antiquated place further away, Saudi Arabia, Russia. It's going to be somewhere in the other hemisphere where Khabib Nurmagomedov already is.
They're actually, they really are closed though, and they have money, right? Like Saudi Arabia, like Lou, they closed the Mecca, bro. Like these guys are pretty serious about praying. You know what I mean? Like they have something to lose there in these countries. Like, that's why they're taking it serious. Like, Saudi Arabia is in a lockdown, and they don't play around, like, with their lockdowns. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're in a lockdown. I hear what you're saying. I'm just saying the Middle East is really hit hard by this, Lou. And we don't know the real numbers, right?
You're right.
Why does Mexico not have cases? Because they're not testing anyone. Why the hell do you think they don't have cases? They're not telling anyone, right? Like, there's nowhere safe to go, Lou. Let's just be real about this. And I'm just being realistic about it. Like, where can you go safe in the world?
Dana White did say in an interview that he was going to disclose where this 249 is going to take place this week, and we're getting to the end of the week, so hopefully soon we all find out.
You know what, man? Are they going to like shock us here and roll it out? I don't have to use international waters.
I mean, why not? I mean,
like, put it on a boat, put it on a ship
somewhere,
put it on a ship, build a cage and put it in the water. Like, you get everyone tested. You only need 12 fighters. You tell people, listen, it's not a 12 fight card. Everyone would accept it too, Lou. We'd be happy. You know
Gabriel, he's as adamant that it's going to be a full fight card.
I know. He's nuts.
So I'm lost. I can't wait to find out what it is. Like I say, I just hope it's April 18th, and I hope that that April 18th they can do it and protect the integrity of the fighters. That is utmost and number one priority, is that we don't jeopardize these fighters or these crew people that have to go to wherever they're going to do this. Again, it has to be done safe, but I hope it can be April 18th. I sure hope.
You almost inevitably are, though. like one NBA game, Lou. Like, so three guys got it from one NBA game. Three players got it. The Pistons and the Jazz played each other. And the residual effect was three guys on two teams. And now a poor cameraman just got it that was there. So it took him 10 days or whatever for him to kick in. But a cameraman got it that was working courtside at that basketball game. So you raise a great point. Like, people just think, like, look, like I said, these guys are fighters, man. And I want to bring it up, Lou. So you and I, remember what I tell you? I said, yeah, I just don't really trust Tony Ferguson under these training circumstances. As soon as we get off the air together, Lou, I see online Tony Ferguson's dodging flares in a training like thing. He's setting off flares in his kitchen. Like, he's ready for the fight, Lou, this guy. He's a nut job, Tony. Let's just call it for what it is. And the thing with Tony Ferguson is he'll fight anywhere. Like, he will. And I respect him for it. He's a badass. He will. And he would, if you told him, listen, you might die, he'll fight. Like, he would fight. Same with Khabib. Like, Khabib has money and stuff, but Khabib's not scared of coronavirus. He'll get tested or whatever. He knows I'm not. He's clean, whatever. So he'll fight. But, Lou, you just called it. There's more than just Khabib and Tony involved in this. You know, you got a lot of TV guys, right? You got announcers. You got TV guys. You're going to have, what about the other card? There's three guys in each corner. So, what, you're going to have 12 fights times three guys? So, what, 36 extra guys? Suddenly, that's not a lot of social distancing going on. Like, it's just, there's a lot of challenges, Lou, that people don't think about.
I think there's a lot of challenges to April 18th, but again, I hope somebody knows something more than me. I hope April 18th could work, that the fighters could compete safely, because I really need it. I'm reading books over here. I got three or four books I've sawed through already. I got to call Amazon again and have them send me over a few more.
Yeah, you know what? Come on, Lou. When Shakespeare was during the plague, Shakespeare was in lockdown. He wrote like some of his most famous plays.
Yeah. Well, I'm not reading Shakespeare, Gabriel. I'll tell you what I'm reading. I'm reading The View from My Corner, Angelo Dundee and Burt Randall Sugar. That is my next book, because it took me about 3 days to saw through Michael Lombardi's Gridiron Genius. And the first book that I read was an autobiography on Howard Cosell. So I'm getting some great reading done on guys that I really think the world of. I mean, Angelo Dundee, one of my, you know, true heroes, Ali's corner man and trainer and such. And Cosell had to do with Ali too. So both of those guys are hinged to my love of fights.
Yeah, you know, it's the one thing I don't do as much as I used to that I miss. Actually, I used to read a ton of sports books too, and I used to like get them sent to me from the publishing houses, because I'd have the coaches on or the authors on and stuff. And you know, everything is so short now, right? And Twitter, 140 characters, and you know, TikTok videos or whatever the hell they're called, and 6 seconds this and 12 seconds. People's attention spans are so short now. That's why I like the podcast, longer form. But you don't get the great sports stories and the tales and the details and stuff. You can't do it like in the modern media. You know what I mean? Like, sports sites don't do long form articles anymore, really. Everything is short. Everything's just, every site has the same copy and paste. Oh, Marshawn Lynch said this at here. Marshawn Lynch, you know, is high and on a bike on Skittles, and everything's the same crap. Oh, LeBron dunks. LeBron says this. And you know, there's nothing interesting. right? But as Lou said, old school guys, some of these old sports books, man, fascinating stories. And a lot of the knowledge I have actually about yesteryear are these books that I've read. And, you know, and I, you know, even though I'm not like a CEO or anything, I love like the successful guys' books, Lou. You know what I mean? How to Succeed, the CEO. You know, same man. Like, I've read Pat Riley's books. You know what I mean? Bo Schembechler. You know, Coaching 101. And, you know, How to Succeed. How to Deal with Adversity. All that type of stuff is great stuff that people just don't read anymore. Lou is great stuff as well. You can find him over at Gamblu.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Gamblu. Lou, stay safe, sir. Thanks for your time twice this week.
Absolutely, Gabe. Stay safe, everybody.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa Welcome Bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
21 plus terms and conditions apply.